Welcome to Line Upon Line, a new series from Cloud Sin Radio where we dive into the scriptures line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. What is Yah telling us to do? How does this relate to our daily lives? We'll try to find out as best as we can in Line Upon Line. Okay, so today in Line Upon Line, we are going to be in the book of 2 Esdras. For those of you all who do not know about the Apocrypha, this is a book of writings that are omitted from, you know, modern day Bibles that we get. But if you look, there's a lot of scriptural texts that have been omitted in modern day canons. But as we read through these scriptures, you'll see that these prophecies line up perfectly with the prophecies that are mentioned in the Messianic scriptures and also by the prophets in the Tanakh and Torah. As I stated, 2 Esdras will be at chapter 16, and I'm going to start at verse 1. And as I stated in the intro, we're going to be going line upon line to try to get a full understanding of what's going on here. So verse 1 says, "Woe be unto thee, Babylon, and Asia. Woe be unto thee, Egypt, and Assyria." All right, so just looking at that first line, you know, Babylon. Babylon, from what I know, it is modern-day Iraq. All right. Also, Egypt, y'all familiar with Egypt in Africa, and there's Syria, which is related to Assyria, the Assyrians, which are all captivities that the Israelites were in. So this is, they were in the Babylonian captivity, they were in a Median Persian captivity, an Egyptian captivity, an Assyrian captivity. So right now, the Most High is calling out those nations that took his people captive. All right, then he says in verse 2, "Gird up yourselves with cloths of sack and hair, bewail your children, and be sorry, for your destruction is at hand." All right, so that mention of sackcloth is a mention of repentance. It's a practice where people would put on sackcloth to mourn, to repent for their sins, for their actions. So he's telling them to repent, right, and get ready for some destruction that's coming their way. Verse 3 says, "A sword is sent upon you, and who may turn it back? A fire is sent among you, and who may quench it? Plagues are sent unto you, and what is he that may drive them away?" All right, so in general, something's coming their way. He's talking to all these nations. And again, we have to look at this from a spiritual standpoint. He's not talking about physically just these nations. He's mentioning all the nations that had the Israelites in captivity. So he's mentioning all of these nations who go by the same rules, ideologies, and the same values that these other nations go by. So if they go by a Babylonian way of living, an Egyptian way of living, an Assyrian way of living, which when you look around, a lot of our nations are heavily influenced by those nations. All right, verse 6 says, "May any man drive away a hungry lion in the wood, or may anyone quench the fire in stubble when it hath begun to burn. May one turn again the arrow that is shot of a strong archer. The mighty Adonai sends the plagues, and who is he that can drive them away? A fire shall go forth from his wrath, and who is he that may quench it?" All right, so just as a preface, the prophet Isaiah mentions something similar in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 in verse 10. All right, he says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven returneth not there, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Right. So all of these instances where he's talking about an arrow that's shot of a strong archer, a fire and stubble driving away a hungry lion in the wood. It's talking about how when the Most High sends a word forth, it doesn't come back empty. Right. When the Most High says something, it happens. So these are all rhetorical questions that are leading us back to the idea that if the Most High says it, that it will come to pass. All right. It says, he shall cast lightnings, and who shall not fear? He shall thunder, and who shall not be afraid? Yah shall threaten, and who shall not be utterly beaten to powder at his presence? The earth quakes in the foundations thereof. The sea rises up with waves from the deep, and the waves of it are troubled, and the fishes thereof also before Yah, and before the glory of his power. Right? For those who are familiar, Yahushua is always mentioned, oftentimes mentioned as Yah's glory, right? The glory of Yah. So some things they mention are earthquakes. They talk about the sea rising up with waves, sort of like a tsunami. Right. We talk about the fishes being troubled, right? The fishes dying, the things that are in the sea dying. I don't know if y'all are familiar, but if you look up whales, beached whales, you'll see that recently there are sometimes hundreds of beached whales, whales that have just ended up on land dead, have just popped up in various places across the earth. Scientists have no idea how they got there. But when we look at the prophecy, we see that these are signs of prophecy coming to pass, that there's earthquakes, there are tsunamis and hurricanes hitting, and there's also even the animals are being troubled by the actions, right? Because Yah controls things, and really there's no explanation that the scientists can give. And this is happening all over the world. And again, going back to that first verse, it's places that are ruled by Babylonian concepts, Egyptian concepts, Assyrian concepts. And most importantly, they have the children of Israel in captivity right now, because we know that the children of Israel are scattered among all nations. Next, it says, for strong is his right hand that bends the bow. His arrows that he shooteth are sharp, and shall not miss when they begin to be shot in the ends of the world. All right, so the part I want you to focus on, this is verse 13 of 2 Esdras chapter 16. It says, for strong is his right hand that bendeth the bow. All right, to get a little bit more understanding on what he's referring to as his right hand, we're going to have to go to Psalms 110, where David, King David, says, Yahuwah, or Yah, said unto my master, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Right? If you read this in the King James Version, it's going to say, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies my footstool. Right? So knowing that King David was a ruler, he was sovereign at that time, there was no one over him, right? So when he's talking about the Lord, or the Adonai, the master, said unto my master, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies my footstool, he wasn't talking about another person who was alive during that time, right? He was referring to Yahushua, because there was nobody at that time physically who was a human being who was above King David. Right. But he was referring to a future prophecy that was going to come to pass about Yahushua sitting at the right hand of Yah. And we also see this validated in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm getting this pulled up right now. But we see this validated in the Messianic scriptures as well, where it's mentioned that Yahushua is sitting on the right hand of Yah. All right. I mean, Galatians is real time. You know, I'm trying to flip through these pages just to make it as authentic as possible. I'm in Thessalonians. Colossians. All right. Thanks for being patient with me, y'all. Colossians 3 and 1. It says, if ye then be risen up with Hamashiach, seek those things which are above, where Hamashiach sitteth on the right hand of Elohim. Right. So this is Paul writing. He's aware of this prophecy. Right. He knows that Yahushua is sitting on the right hand of Elohim, because even Yahushua brings this up to the Pharisees. Right. He says, how do you think I'm this just the son of David? Right. If David is calling me his master. Right. So going back to where we were, we got to anchor it back in our line upon line. These are just precepts to support it. It says, for strong is his right hand that bendeth the bow. His arrows that he shooteth are sharp and shall not miss when they begin to be shot into the ends of the world. Right. Yahushua is shooting these plagues and all this stuff into the ends of the world. Right. He's got Yah's messengers on call, on standby to send these physical plagues, these famines, these wars, all this confusion. And again, he's got a strong right hand. Yah has a strong right hand, which is sending these plagues, and they will not miss. All right. Verse 14, it says, behold, the plagues are sent and shall not return again until they come upon the earth. Going back to the idea that Yah's word is going to be accomplished. Verse 15, the fire is kindled and shall not be put out till it consume the foundation of the earth. Like as an arrow, which is shot of a mighty archer, returneth not backward, even so the plagues that shall be sent upon the earth shall not return again. Right. So in order to get a deeper understanding of this, a lot of y'all are familiar with Revelation. This refers directly to Revelation. All right. So Revelation chapter 16 and verse 1, it says, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels or seven messengers, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of Elohim upon the earth. Right. All these vials are different things that they're going to bring upon the earth. Right. It's pestilence. Right. It's troubles. It's plagues. It's all these different famines, plagues, parts of destruction, all of the things that are prophesied to come, right, to bring the downfall of these nations. That's what these messengers are sending for. So again, when they refer to this idea of even so, the plagues that shall be sent upon earth shall not return again. Right. Once this bad stuff starts happening, which we're seeing it happen right now, it's not just going to go back up. Right. That word is going to be accomplished. OK. Verse 18, the beginning of sorrows and great mournings, the beginning of famine and great death, the beginning of wars, and the powers shall stand in fear, the beginning of evils. What shall I do when these evils shall come? Behold, famine and plague, tribulation and anguish are sent as scourges for amendment. All right, anyone knows what a scourge is? They scourge the nails through Yahushua's palms, right, to crucify him, right? It's a form of punishment, right? So all these things that are coming are punishments from Yah. And we read about this in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7. All right, so Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7, we have Yahushua actually speaking here. And he says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. All right. All these are the beginning of sorrows. I want you to really look at the wording here. Yahushua says beginning of sorrows in Matthew 24 and verse 8. And right here in 2 Edges 16 and 18, it says the beginning of sorrows and great mournings and great and the beginning of famine and great death. The beginning of wars, and the powers shall stand in fear, the beginning of evils. Right. So they're referring to the same exact thing. They're talking about the end times here. Right. Them both mentioning the beginning of sorrows. It's not a coincidence. Right. Because we know that in these end times, there has to be some destruction coming. Because that's what's prophesied to come. I mean, if you believe in the scriptures, you'll read it all throughout, as we have been reading, that there has to be some destruction to come to this world first in order for Yah's kingdom and Yahushua's kingdom to be established. All right, so we're going to take a quick break and come back at verse 20 of 2 Esdras chapter 16. Okay, so we are going to just get to this next part. I'm not going to make it too long, but we're definitely going to make sure we touch all the parts that we need to touch. We're in 2 Esdras chapter 16, verse 20. All right, we've really gone deep into everything we mentioned, but we got to continue to sort of get a full picture of what's going to happen. So it says, "But for all these things, they shall not turn from their wickedness, nor be always mindful of the scourges." You got to remember our subject here. We're talking about Babylon, Asia, Egypt, the Syrians. These are wicked nations. These are wicked kingdoms, right? And now we see those in all nations throughout the earth. They are ruled by wicked principles. "Behold, victuals shall be so good cheap upon earth that they shall think themselves to be in good case. And even then shall evils grow upon earth, sword, famine, and great confusion." Right? So when you look at victuals, it's things that you purchase. And in this day and age, we look at victuals as a whole. We look at the state of our finances in terms of the stock market. You know, we look at the stock market rising and falling. And just because the stock market looks good, people are going to think things are fine, right? But it says, "Even then shall evils grow upon earth, sword, famine, and great confusion." Wars, famine, confusion. "For many of them that dwell upon the earth shall perish of famine, and the other that escape the hunger shall the sword destroy." Right? This is talking about those wars and rumors of wars that are prophesied to come. "And the dead shall be cast out as dung, and there shall be no man to comfort them. For the earth shall be wasted, and the cities shall be cast down." Right, when you're imagining this, imagine a war zone, right? Imagine a time when post-war, right? There's going to be a lot of issues. The environment's going to look crazy. There's going to be buildings blown up. All these different things happening that really are almost movie-like. But we see things are going to be cast down. "The earth shall be wasted, and cities shall be cast down." Verse 24 says, "There shall be no man left to till the earth and to sow it." All right, we can compare that to Genesis 2 and 5 when Yah had created the earth, right? He created the animals, the land, the sea, and he needed to create a man to sow, to till the earth and to sow it, right? So he created Adam. It's talking about he's preparing for a new beginning, right? He's going to destroy this world with fire, spiritually with fire, especially to start new. All right, we're almost at the end of where we're going to stop today. It says, "The tree shall give fruit, and who shall gather them? The grapes shall ripe, and who shall tread them? For all places shall be desolate of men, so that one man shall desire to see another and to hear his voice. For of a city there shall be 10 left, and 2 of the field, which shall hide themselves in the thick groves, in the clefts of the rock." All right, so we've seen movies where it's almost like apocalyptic. But when we're looking at these descriptions in 2nd Esdras, it's really giving us that similar vibe, right? This is post-war. This is post famine. This is post-plague, right? It's not going to be the same kind of world that we've been living in now. And they're giving us these signs to tell us to prepare for what's to come. Even Yahushua was telling us to prepare for these wars, famines, plagues, pestilence. And we can't really physically imagine what it's going to be like. But they're trying to give us as much of a caution as possible to tell us it's not going to be easy. It says, so that one man shall desire to see another and to hear his voice. For of a city there shall be 10 left, and 2 of the field, which shall hide themselves in the thick groves and in the clefts of the rocks. As in an orchard of olives, upon every tree there are left 3 or 4 olives. Or when as a vineyard is gathered, there are left some clusters of them that diligently seek through the vineyard. Even so, in those days, there shall be 3 or 4 left by them that search their houses with the sword. Right? There's going to be people who are not caring at all, right, about how they get what they get, because the economy is going to be messed up. There's not going to be a lot of food, right? This is going to be post-war. They talk about wars, rumors of wars, right? They talk about plagues and pestilence. So we imagine how desperate some people are going to be able to have some type of food, to have some type of substance, right? So it's going to be very, very like anarchy, right? So they're telling us to prepare because people are going to be affected by many different types of these plagues that are sent into the earth. However, those that endure to the end, they'll be saved, right? He's trying to prepare us for what's to come, and he'll bring us through these times. It says, and the earth shall be laid waste, and the fields thereof shall wax old, and her ways and all her paths shall grow full of thorns, because no man shall travail therethrough. The virgins shall mourn, having no bridegrooms, and women shall mourn, having no husbands. Their daughters shall mourn, having no helpers. In the wars shall their bridegrooms be destroyed, and their husbands shall perish of famine. Right, this is what I'm referring to, the fact that there's going to be not a lot of people left, right? There's still going to be people here, right? Because there's going to be other nations that are serving Yah, right? All nations here are going to have to turn towards Jerusalem and submit to the Torah, right, that's coming forth out of Zion. But when we're looking at this post-war, this post-famine, post-plague, it's not the same type of world that we see right now. And that's what they're trying to tell us through prophecy. It's not a scary movie. It's rather them giving us the warning that's coming from the Most High. It says, hear now these things and understand them, ye servants of Yah. Behold the word of Yah. Receive it and believe not the Elohim or gods of whom Yah spake. Behold, the plagues draw nigh and are not slack. Right? They're not slack. They're not going to hold back, because once they start going forth, as we're seeing with this whole COVID-19 thing and all the confusion that that's causing in the earth, it's only going to exacerbate problems. They're only going to get worse. And as when a woman with a child in the 9th month brings forth her son, within 2 or 3 hours of her birth, great pains can pass her womb, which pains, when the child cometh forth, they slack not a moment. Even so shall not the plagues be slack to come upon the earth, and the world shall mourn, and sorrow shall come upon it on every side. Right? So we see there's a lot of destruction and chaos going on in the world right now. And they relate this coming of a new world to a birth, right? And for any of y'all who have had experience, even just hearing about a birth, seeing a birth, or, you know, being in any type of situation, we were all birthed. We may have heard that experience about how we came into the world, but we know that the most trying time is when the baby is actually coming, right? And that's what he's trying to tell us when it comes to the way this world's going to be. The most trying times for those who trust in Yah are going to be right before the end comes, right? But that's also right before the beginning comes, right? It's the end of the pregnancy in the beginning of the birth of a new life, of a new being. So Yah is trying to prepare us for Yahushua's kingdom. right? Because this wicked society that we're in is, you know, his people have been growing this kingdom and preparing for what's to come. And there will be a day when this society is totally done away with, which is why we need this type of destruction, right? Yah is saying he's going to bring this destruction because he's got to get rid of the wickedness that's upon earth to bring in the righteousness. Last verse, verse 40, says, "O my people, hear my word, make you ready to the battle, and in those evils, be even as pilgrims upon the earth." Right? Be even as pilgrims upon the earth, ready to go to our destination. And we have to really keep our eye on that destination. Right? There's going to be many things that happen that try to deter us, that test us, right? Those famines and plagues, they're going to be really close to us, right? They're going to be on our right side and our left side. However, if we cling on to Yah, we cling on to his Torah, right? Then we will make it through. And that's when it talks about he that endures to the end shall be saved. I don't have that verse on top of my head, but I believe it's in Matthew. You all could look it up. But that's what he's talking about, enduring through this tribulation, because if we're going to witness the birth of this new nation that's coming, where Yahushua is our king and his return is imminent, right? This amazing, beautiful time, just like an amazing, beautiful baby that comes into the world, there's that trial, right? That birth process that the mother must go through and endure through and lean on Yah for, right? In order for it to come to pass. So, you know, as a nation, you know, our people, Israel, the Israelites that are scattered abroad, we got to lean on Yah, because the more we stray away from Yah, the harder it's going to be during that tribulation. And we've got to be ready to be like pilgrims on the earth, meaning we got to be able to let things go. We got to be able to drop everything and go on the drop of a dime, because things could change in a moment's notice, right? And we're going to go more into that. There's another half of 2nd Esdras chapter 16 that we will dive into. But we just went through 2nd Esdras 1 through 40. And I encourage you to read it. See what things you find that I didn't find. Find some precepts that relate to this. But most importantly, go line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, and try to dive into this prophecy, because these prophets were not just writing this in their leisure time, right? They're telling us this stuff because they knew these times would come. And I'm sure if they looked and saw the state that the world is in right now, they would tell us that this is exactly what they saw, right? Coming thousands of years ago. These prophecies were written thousands of years ago, which is the craziest thing, that it relates to our current day life right now. So take heed, like it said in verse 35 and 36, "Hear now these things and understand them, you servants of Yah." All right, and if you all lack wisdom, which at times all of us do, right? I don't understand all the prophecies, but ask of Yah. All right, I got that from James chapter 1. If you lack wisdom, you can ask of Yah, but you have to ask in faith. Nothing double-minded, right? We have to ask in full faith and say, "Hey, Yah, I'm willing to learn this. I'm willing to live righteously. I'm willing to change my ways, but I need to understand exactly what it is you want me to do." So I encourage you all to dive in, read the Torah, read the prophets, see how it all ties together. But most importantly, keep that Torah and start talking to Yah through that Ruach Kodesh, and he will give you understanding. So that's what we got for our episode of Line Upon Line, and I look forward to seeing you all next week. Shalom.